Would you like to pray with me this morning? You know, the Word of God is something that's always been very dear to me from a very young age. It's a place where I have anchored my life. When I'm in trouble, that's where I run. When I'm sad, that's where I run. When I'm in joy, that's where I run. When I'm anxious, that's where I go. That's my first place. I may talk to a friend, phone a friend later, but the Word of God has always been my anchor. It's been my North Star, my constant, my hope. So Holy Spirit, we invite you to come and make your Word alive and fresh to us this morning. Truly that you are our living hope. And I pray, God, that you would speak to us. Would you use me to bring your words not with human wisdom, but with power from the Holy Ghost, in Jesus' name. Amen. I've been in this chapter for a few months now. I keep coming back to it. I keep reflecting on it. I keep thinking about it because I believe this is a word for the season. God has much to say to us, and it's a passage we're all familiar with, but I trust God will speak something fresh to us this morning. So if we can turn our Bibles to John chapter 15. And let's read from verse 1 to 3. It's up on the DLP if you don't have it. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. I think you and I would consider the last words of a dying man very important. I know this firsthand because I remember when my dad was diagnosed with cancer many, many years ago, and we knew that he had 6 months to live, and from 6 months it was 20 days, and to the day, literally, he passed on. And the time I spent with him was precious. So connection gives meaning to words. It's important. And what happens in John 15 are the last hours of Jesus on earth. He's talking to his disciples, things that he wants to tell them. They're weighing on his heart deeply because he knows that in a few hours, he is going to go to Gethsemane. But it doesn't start in chapter 15. If you have a red letter Bible, you'll see that the red letters go way back. If you turn and turn and turn, it comes to chapter 13. It starts with Jesus washing the feet of the disciples. They've just had a great time of going into different cities, and you know, the disciples have had a go at sharing the good news, and they've been doing miracles. They've come back excited. Jesus, people are seeing in your name, and eyes are being opened, and ears are being unstopped, and demons are fleeing, and there's great excitement. And then he tells them to prepare the feast for the Passover. And in this time, he is saying things that are deep on his heart. So let's look at some of the things that he said. If you have the next slide, please. Yeah. We'll just encapsulate that very quickly. I find those divisions of chapters sometimes not helpful. If you read 13 to 17 in one go, that's really the conversation and the time he had before Gethsemane, and you'll get the full import of it if you read it at one stretch. So in John 13, he's talking to them about servanthood. Okay, he gives them an object lesson when he washes their feet. He tells them, if you want to be the greatest, you need to be the least. In chapter 14, let's look at what he talks about there. Okay, he talks about how he's going to give them the Holy Spirit. He says, I will leave with you a comforter who will lead you into all truth. He will give you, he will guide you. He's promising them that whatever they ask in the Father's name, if they obey his commands, they will see great answer to prayer. And then he goes on, and really, chapter 15 is encapsulating 13 and 14 again. There's a lot of repetition in those chapters if you look at it. Okay? And then in chapter 15, we come to this place where he's now talking about our connection with him and with the Father. He's talking about our union with Jesus. This is important stuff, okay? These are the words of a dying man. So in chapter 15, we see, he says, my Father is the gardener, or the vine dresser, as he's called. Jesus is the vine, and we are the branches. How does this all connect? How does it work together? He says, I am the true vine. I am the true vine. He didn't just say, I am the vine. I am the true vine. What does that imply? That there are some vines that are not true. They're false. Okay? There could have been many vines that we could be a part of, but only he is the true vine. And it's a good time to pause and ask ourselves this question. He says, and you are the branches. Am I a branch attached to the true vine? Someone today mentioned it. Was it Manish? Is he the Lord of your life? Is he the place from where you are gathering your strength? Is he your Savior? Now, to be fair, there are several interpretations to this verse. Some say it's talking about Israel. They make reference to Isaiah chapter 5, verses 1 to 7, where it says Israel was a vine, and now it's become fruitless, and it's going to be cut off. There are several things that are said about this verse, but that was not the focus of Jesus, and that's not the focus today. Okay? He is still the true vine, and we are the branches. This is the culmination of the many I am statements that Jesus made in his 3.5 year ministry on earth. What are some of the great I am statements Jesus made? I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. Yeah? Do you know some more? I am the light of the world. Okay? I am the bread of life. I am the resurrection and the life. I'm the good shepherd. Okay, and he made many I am statements. And to the listeners at that time, when you say I am had special connotation for the Jews. You know, and Jesus was being bold and he says, I am. And he says, I am this, I am this, I am this. And the last he's saying, I am the true vine. Now, as Christians, I think we need to remind ourselves of this great salvation that we are so privileged to have, that we can be called sons of God. We may not see ourselves as branches. It's not something we really relate to, right? Oh, I'm a branch. What's a branch? Okay? But we're called other things. We're called sons of God. We're called co-heirs with God. We have been adopted into his family. We have been grafted in to his family. We are a chosen people, a royal priesthood. Once we were not a people, now we are a people. Okay? We are in Christ. We live in Christ. And there are many references to this. What a great salvation we enjoy. It's good to remind ourselves of this. At one time, we were enemies with God. We were hostile to him. We didn't want to know him. We didn't want to know his ways. But then, in his great mercy, the Bible says, in his great mercy, in his loving kindness, he drew us to repentance. And he made us his very own, as we sang this morning. And he calls us sons. And because he put his spirit in us, we can also respond and say, Abba, Father. He gave us a new faith. We were able to confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. If it were not for his working of this Holy Spirit in us, we wouldn't have been able to do that. That is the grace and mercy of God upon our lives. He took us, he made us new creations in Christ. He transferred us from the kingdom of darkness and brought us into his kingdom of light. He gave us a new identity. The next slide, slide 5. And he gave us a new community. Okay? Completely changed us. What is a new creation? New. It's not an old thing refabricated or refurbished. New is new. We now have our very DNA changed, and we'll come to that. Yeah? Note, it doesn't say transferred from one kingdom into another church. The church is part of the kingdom. Okay? It's not transferred from one church to another. Church is part of the kingdom of God. The church is a corporate expression of our faith and a corporate celebration of the goodness of God that we enjoy through the week, as I said in the morning. It is a place where we get encouraged and we in turn encourage one another. So therefore, when we are in Christ, we are now in the kingdom of God. We are Christ's ambassadors. We have been grafted into this new wine. Though we are in this world, but we are not, we haven't been taken out of it yet. Okay? Verse 2 and 3. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. And while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. So that we may be made even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Fruit bearing is a kingdom principle. God set this in motion right in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, where he said, be fruitful and increase. That was God's decree to mankind. Be fruitful and multiply and have dominion over the earth. Ephesians 2:10 tells us, for we are God's handiwork, okay, where he has prepared good works in advance for us to do. Work, multiplication, fruitfulness has always been something that's integral to the kingdom of God. James 2:17 was referred to again this morning. Faith on its own is dead. But faith must be accompanied with works. Are we saved by works? I think Word of Grace people know the answer to that. It's no. You have been saved by grace through faith, not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. But you are saved for works. Ephesians 2:10, you have been prepared in advance for good works. Okay? Multiplication. Fruitfulness is integral to the kingdom of God. It's part of God's DNA, and when we became new creations in Christ, that became a part of our DNA too. You see that as a recurring theme. Jesus talks about the parable of the minas, parable of the talents, the fig tree. Everywhere he went, he asked them for fruit. I gave you this. What have you done? Did you multiply it? Did you grow it? That has always been and will always be right to the end when we get rewarded in heaven. Jesus is going to say, well, or is he going to say, well done, good and faithful servant? God forbid that all we hear is well. We don't want to hear well. I want to hear well done, good and faithful servant. Matthew 7:16-20, he talks about the fig tree and all of that. And he says, you will be known by your fruit. How many attendance on Sunday? You will be known by your fruit. Okay, as a favorite preacher of mine, Jay John, he says, are you fruity? Let's turn to one another and ask, are you fruity? Are you fruity? Okay? Are you a fruity Christian? Are you bearing fruit? You know, I want to be fruity. Now, here is a verse that many people stumble on, trip on, get confused about. And we're going to look at it. Okay? Every branch in me that bears no fruit, he says, he cuts off. Okay? Bible scholars have said this. It's referring to people who have not truly put their faith in Jesus. Okay? They haven't really accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. They could be pretending. They could be just going through the motions. So we can come to church Sunday after Sunday, believe me, and nothing can touch your heart. And this, my friends, is, you know, that in grace and in the kingdom of God, there is no condemnation, but there is conviction. And I ask for the Holy Spirit conviction this morning that if that is you, you don't know what I'm talking about. Why are they getting so excited about being part of Jesus and all this? You know, isn't Jesus only for 2 hours on a Sunday morning? Let's pay attention. We could attend Sunday church, Sunday after Sunday. Probably even read our Bible every day out of ritual. But have no living faith, have no relationship, have no connection. We may look like believers, talk like believers, praise the Lord, brother, you know, but have no fruit. And we could just be a twig. Judas was with Jesus 3.5 years. Look what happened. It's a bit sobering, isn't it? It must make us think. Jesus himself said in Matthew 7:21, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter my kingdom. Woo. Oh my God. Will not enter my kingdom. Not everyone. So it's good to pause and think. And if it is you this morning, you've never put your faith in Jesus. You don't know what it is to make him your Lord, your Savior, where he is the only way, the true vine. No other vine. Today is a good day as any other day. Do you repent and say, God, I was hostile to you. I was living and running my own life. But I repent. I confess my sin. I make you the Lord of my life. Would you come into my heart? I want to live the way you want me to live. I want to be a fruity Christian. Jesus will honor that prayer right now, right here. Amen. This is not referring to losing your salvation. Let's be clear on that. The cutting off of the branch is talking about people who actually never really belonged. You as a Christian, once you have put your faith in Jesus, you are forever saved. Hallelujah. Nothing, and I say nothing, and no one can pluck you out of his hand. Jesus himself said that in John 27. No one can snatch them out of his hand. Do you think his grasp on you is so weak that you can slip out? Not at all. We may try and wriggle away. He's got his hold on us. Because in Hebrews he said, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. How can that mean anything else? Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. A favorite of mine is Psalm 23, verse 6. Surely, goodness and mercy, and in some translations it says, will pursue me, Even if I try and run, it will pursue me and catch me by my collar and bring me back all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen? Amen. What a great hope we've been called to. When Paul says, we have a hope that is wishy-washy. What does it say? Steadfast. Steadfast and certain. Certain. It's not wishful thinking. It's not maybe, if. We have a hope that is steadfast and certain. We have been called to be blessed. No, my friends, we may be blessed, but we have been called to be a blessing and to be fruitful. That means we've got to make an impact on the culture around us. We've got to make an impact on the world. We are the salt. Jesus turned around and then said, you are the salt of the earth. You are a light. Do not hide your light under a bushel. One of the core values at Word of Grace is that we want to leave behind a lasting legacy. How do you leave a lasting legacy? Not just in money. You leave a legacy in what you invest in other people's lives. And that is why our motto is enjoying God. And you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And then you will love your neighbor as yourself, making friends. And then the Great Commission. Go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded and baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, changing lives. The Great Commission, the Great Commandment is there in our tagline. That is the two sides of a coin. Those are the two principles every Christian needs to live his life by. Loving God, loving people, saving a lost world. That is why we have been grafted into the true vine. You don't need to go far to find your purpose and calling. This is your purpose and calling. This is your purpose and calling. In Hebrews 12:1, we are encouraged. Therefore, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Different analogy, same theme, fruitfulness. Running to win a prize, being fruitful, same thing. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. Wow. Meet the axe both ways. Is it? How is it different from cutting? Any of you gardeners here, you have little pots of plants that you take care of? I have several. And I know that if I don't prune, you get pretty much long extended branches that are really weak, no flowers, no fruit. I had to do it recently. I have two lime trees, and people are getting pretty exasperated with them. They say, what is this? It's supposed to be lime trees, and there's no fruit. And I said, okay, let's cut it back. And I pruned. I cut it. I pruned off some of those overextended branches. I cut off some of the branches that were dead. And now, we were counting the other day. What was it? 7 or 8 limes. It flowered, and there are 7, 8 limes. And in a few weeks, I'm going to have some lime juice from my own tree. So what is this pruning? Healthy branches are pruned. You cut it back so that you have more growth. Pruning is not punishment, as some people think. When you are growing, we all need some adjustment in our life in our attitudes, in our values, in the way we do things, our behavior. And when branches are cut back, the sap begins to flow into the healthy branches. The flow of the sap is concentrated and redirected. And sometimes God may want to redirect our focus. Sometimes when we grow, things begin to show up. Certain heart issues may begin to show up. And we need to allow God to begin to do an adjustment in our life. It doesn't mean we are bad, okay? Because I come to it, he says, you are already clean. It just means there are things that need cutting off from our lives. There are seasons for pruning and there are seasons for growth. Pruning is not an ongoing thing that happens. Sometimes you will know that there is the hand of God's pruning on your life. Submit to it, because after that comes great growth. Okay? Do you know which season you are in? Is it a season of pruning? I would say, stay in that season, because what comes after that is good. Are you in a season of growth? Celebrate. Celebrate. Or are you in a season when it's fallow? Take the rest you need. God knows. We all have different seasons in our life. As a worship leader, when I started off, there were so many things I needed to learn. So many attitudes that needed correcting. So many things I needed to be reminded of. That this is not about me. It's about the presence of God. It's not a place for me to display my talent. It's not a place for me to showcase my gift. It's about being a conduit or being a channel for the presence of God. It's about being a blessing to others. It's about not just me, but raising up others alongside me. Drawing out the gold in others that you see beside me. We lead together. Okay? It's not a one-man show. We do it together as a team, celebrating the others, killing the desire for competition or comparison. God takes us all through different things, and He took me through that journey of pruning and cutting and pruning and cutting. And each time that happened, I just saw growth, and I saw greater dimension of the presence, manifest presence of God in worship. Jesus did it with the disciples too. As I said, just before the Passover, these guys had a great stint at sharing the gospel, and they saw great fruit. And you know what they did when they came back? They sat down and they said, so who's the better one from all of us? You know, five guys saw when I laid hands on them. You know, Peter, only two received their sight. I should be the one sitting at the right hand of Jesus. I not only blind people saw, but deaf ears were also unstopped. For you only blind people. And they began arguing and discussing who should be the greatest. And do you think Jesus didn't hear that? And he said, guys, you've been fruitful. Well done. But here, I need to teach you something that's of great importance. And then he did what we call, he gave them an object lesson. He put on a towel, he took a bowl, and he said, you want to be the greatest? Be the least. Serve. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. And he says, not so with you. The Gentiles, they lorded over other people, he says, but not so with you. He who wants to be the greatest must be the least and the servant of all. What a wonderful Savior. He didn't smack them. He said, fail. I'm not going to send you out ever again. He just brought a little cutting, a little pruning, and he adjusted their heart attitude. He had to do this. Several times. Have you experienced the pruning of God in your life? Where he says, that attitude, the way you speak, those thoughts, the way you treat your neighbor, the way you talk to your mom, the way you talk to your mother-in-law, mother-in-law, you know, that needs adjustment. I have a good mother-in-law, by the way. Everybody knows that. I sing her praises. She is the best, you know. So we all go through pruning. The vine dresser, what does he do? He prunes and then he guides the vine on the trellis. So there's guidance. He guides it, he shapes it, because he knows that if he does that, it's going to enable greater fruit. Some branches may not have leaves, may not have fruit at all. Okay? Before we go to that, so what does pruning look like? Slide 7. It says, healthy branches are cut back. Healthy branches are fruitful. Pruning is done for more fruit. It's not punishment. It's done to focus your energy. Pruning furthers life and fruit bearing. It brings about maturity. And remember the last one, it's an act of love. It is an act of love. In Hebrews 12, it says, whom the Father loves, he disciplines. Whom the Father loves, he disciplines. Discipline, pruning, same thing. Same thing. Discipline is not necessarily punishment. Okay? Discipline is just discipline. The discipline to exercise. The discipline to do something diligently. Yeah? Sometimes a branch may have all leaves and no fruit. It has the appearance of being healthy, but it's not fruity. It's only ornamental. It's not doing its job, which is fruit bearing. That's when pruning is needed. God is not interested in outward appearance. He never has been. He looks at the heart. He's looking at deeper issues. He wants genuine fruit that comes from heart transformation. Do we have heart transformation? We allow God to challenge us. See, we can go from one conference to the next. We can go from one Sunday meeting to the next, one God TV message to the next. And our lives can never be challenged. Never be challenged. We don't change. There's no growth. You may say, oh, I'm growing on the inside. Sorry. Growth has to be visible. Can a tree be just growing on the inside? No. The fruit is evident to everybody. If you have to tell your friends at the office, I'm a Christian, I think that's pretty much fail. They should be able to come and say, what's different about you? What's different about you? Why are you different? Why don't you gossip? Why don't you backbite against the management? Why do you not take long lunch breaks? Why do you do your job on time? Why do you come to work on time? Why are all your projects done well? Why do you not fudge your taxes? Why? Come on, fill in that medical slip. It's yours anyway. Get some fake bills from the medical store. It's your claim. You know, the government, the company is making enough profit. They're cheating us. They're not paying us as much as they should. Let's fudge it. And you say, no, I can't do that. I can't do that. Why? I can't do it. I'm a Christ follower. I love Jesus. God provides for me. He will supply my needs. I thank God I am healthy. I don't need to fudge medical bills. That's the difference, my friends. People must see the fruit. God may say, it's great you're coming to church every Sunday. And he commends you for that. Then he may prune it a little bit. He say, hey, how about you read a scripture that will bless somebody? When we say, let's pray for the sick, you're quick to get up and pray for someone. You know, I've been regular with my giving. Oh, I give my tithes. God may challenge you like Manish said. Let's tweak that a little bit. Would you like to give a faith amount? and put your trust and say, I am in charge of your purse. You may say, I'm a good father, I'm a good provider. I work well, I take care of my family, my wife. And God may tweak that a little bit. Hey, how about demonstrating love for your wife by making her a cup of tea? And all the women said, amen. It's true. You know, demonstrate it once in a while. Get out of your comfort zone. I'm not likewise for us women. Okay? Do an act of kindness. Do an act of love. I could give you many examples. You know what the Holy Spirit is putting his finger on. Okay? There are things we all need. Some pruning. In verse 3, he says, you're already cleaned by the word I have spoken to you. Cleaned is, some say, is the same word as pruned or prepared by pruning. And he says, how is that done? It's done through the word of God. When we allow the word of God to be a mirror to our heart and soul, we're able to adjust ourselves. We're able to see areas in our life that need adjustment, that need change, and sometimes needs the cutting. Would we allow God to do that? Why? Not because God is a killjoy, not because he doesn't want us to enjoy life, but because he wants us to be genuinely fruitful. Okay? When I know his word, and when I know his will for me, I will know how he guides me and how he shapes me. Jesus is not interested in dressed up Christianity. He's interested in the real deal. Are you fruity? So let's just pause and reflect as we close on this first part of this series in John 15. And ask the Holy Spirit to search our hearts this morning. We don't want to be hearers of the word and not do anything. Okay? That would be sad. What part of the word has challenged you? What part of the word has inspired you? What part of the word is God convicting you about? What part is the Holy Spirit putting his finger on? Is there something that needs to be cut out of your life so that you can be fruity this morning? Is there a habit? Is there an addiction? Are there things you're watching on your phone you shouldn't be? Do you have a problem with language? Maybe you have some toxic friendships and relationships that need to be cut off. Is there a behavior? Can we surrender that to God this morning? Because his grace comes to empower us and not to excuse our sin. Okay, it says, now the grace of God that has appeared to all men. What is it? Helps us to say no to ungodliness and yes to righteousness. Grace is not a license to sin. Grace empowers us to do what is right. If you have never given your life to Jesus, and you don't know whether you are part of the true vine this morning, now is the time to make your confession of faith and say, Jesus, I invite you into my heart and I want to be part of the true vine. I want to be in you, Jesus. I want to be part of you. I want to be fruity for you. I want to live my life for you, God. I make you Lord of my life. And for the rest of us, how do we stay clean? How do we stay pruned? How do we stay connected? It says, by the word I have spoken to you. What are some of the words God has already spoken to us? There are many things God has spoken in our hearts, hasn't he? He speaks to us through the week. He speaks to us through various ways. Say, God, help me to put that into practice. Help me to be obedient. I want to be a fruity Christian. I want to bear fruit that will last. We'll be looking at that in the weeks to come. It's amazing, this just the whole portion on abiding in Jesus, I think, is one of my favorite portions of scripture. We'll be looking at that in some weeks to come. But for now, we have enough to reflect upon. Maybe if it helps you, take a screenshot of the reflection and reflect on that through the week. You know, and ask yourself these questions. Ask yourselves, what do I need to be pruned from? What do I need to cut back from? What do I need to grow in? What do I need to be challenged in? If you feel this word has spoken to you this morning, I'm going to ask you to do something, because when we do something, I feel we are far more committed than when we don't do anything. If that is you, you may want to raise your hand, and I'm going to pray for you. Is there something God speaking to you about pruning, cutting back, challenge for growth? Or maybe you've never put your faith in Jesus and you're saying, God, I want to make you the Lord of my life. I've grown up in a Christian background. I've grown up in a Christian family, but I don't know what this is about. What does it really mean to make you Lord of my life? If I have every eye shut and every head bowed, mine's going to be open. And you raise your hand to Jesus and say, Jesus, I invite your pruning in my life. Will you prune? Will you cut? Will you shape? Will you mold me? Spirit of God, we come and we ask that you will seal this word by your Spirit, that it will bear fruit. It has fallen on good soil, that it will bear fruit 50 to 100-fold, God. And in the days to come, we will see lives truly changed because of the work of your life-giving word in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.